Yes, you lovely people, if you're not already, make sure you give us a follow over on Spotify.
After the game at Lyon, because we beat them 3-0, and I think they were, obviously their fans were fuming.
Yeah.
And they like tried to break down the stand.
Oh, they did, I remember.
And they tried
to
come on the pitch, and I thought, we're in trouble here.
Yeah.
And I just heard these bangs go off, and I thought, someone's got a shotgun. Or someone's got a grenade, I'm going to die. Because I've never heard it before. You don't hear it in, like,
don't
hear it at Vicarage Road, do you? You don't hear like bangs going off.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ben Foster. Welcome to another episode of the Foscast. As usual, I have got Rhino Legs Tom next to me. How are you, my mate?
Very good, mate. Really excited for this week.
It's a good pod today. Let me give you a few hints and tips about who we've got in the studio with us today. So one of the standout players in the Premier League this season, he scored 12 Premier League goals, including two against Man City just a few weeks ago, which is a ridiculous feat in itself. And surely is in line for his first England call-up.
And he made it in our team of the season.
He did. You did make it in our team of the season. It's Jarrod Bowen, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Welcome.
Right, mate, before we start, we've got a picture that we need to show you. 1 second. Here it is. Have a look at this.
I just knew that was coming.
Talk me through this picture, please, mate. So if you're watching on YouTube, guys, if you want to see this picture that we're talking about, head over to YouTube and watch this podcast, okay? Because on screen right now, we have got a picture of a young Jarrod Bowen. Please go and tell me about this little man in the picture, Jarrod.
The young bull. hooligan. Milky Bar kids.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, it's a bad picture.
It's for the people that don't want to head over to YouTube, it is a picture of a young Jarrod Bowen. It looks like you were at a Hereford game.
Correct.
And I'll be completely honest, I said this to you a minute ago as well, the kid in this picture, it's obviously you, it does not look like somebody who could ever go on to be a proven Premier League goal scorer.
I can 100% agree with you on that.
100%. You're getting better with age though, mate, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have your glow up soon, haven't you?
Okay, let's talk about this Man City game a couple of weeks ago, okay? So you've scored two goals. Please, can you try and explain or describe how you managed to do this? Because every time I've played against Man City, right, we've ended up losing 5 or 6 or 7-0, without doubt. Relentless they are, aren't they?
I think that's what they do. It's just, even when you're playing, you're just there. You know, they have all the ball. They've got everything. And you just hope you can hit them on the counter. And I think the two goals that I scored were pretty similar in terms of winning the ball back and then just playing the ball quickly over the top. Obviously, when they've got the ball, everyone's high. Their defenders are quite high. So when we won the ball back, we knew there was space there.
Yeah.
But then it was about the keeper, Edison. He's off his line, him and Alisson in the
rapid, Premier League.
Yeah, they're so quick. And he came out and I took it round him and he like caught me a bit, but I thought, I'm not going down.
Oh, did he? Did he catch
it? I want to score, but I took it so wide. Yeah. And it was just a case of, please don't miss an open goal, do you know what I mean?
When you took it wide, because when you took it wide, I actually thought, I think he's too wide here.
Yeah,
I think he's too wide. Is it something in your head where you're thinking, I've got to kind of chip it a little bit, I've got to get a bit of height on it?
I think I knew I was falling over because of the way, like I said, how wide I was, and I wanted to hit it back that way. So I was kind of, all my weight was going this way. And to be fair, in the video, it looks so good because Laporte is sliding in, he misses it, and it goes into like the far side.
Perfect, isn't it?
But no, it was just, obviously, two goals against, I've never scored against them before, so to get two.
Mate, they are scary at times, though, aren't they?
Because, like you said, relentless. It's just non-stop. It's just, they drain you, do you know what I mean? They drain you on the pitch with the way they keep the ball, and you don't get a touch. And as soon as you get the ball back, they're on you. Do you know what I mean? You've got four round you in the space of seconds.
No, like I say, they do. They scare me, mate. They're like them, and to be fair, Liverpool are quite similar at times as well. Liverpool obviously don't keep the ball as well as them, but they're one team that when you play against them, you think, oh, this could be anything today.
100%.
Especially when you go in the lead as well, two up, and you like, I watched it at home and think they're sent over.
No
way is this over.
I feel that as well, because I know being 2-0 up, obviously we was buzzing, but you know that you're playing against Man City. You know there's going to be a reaction. You know it's just, not saying that we knew we was going to concede, but we knew that they had chances in the first half. Do you know what I mean? And it was just a bit of a sucker blow, the second goal being a known goal.
Yeah.
But obviously then got the penalty save as well.
Big shout out to my boy Lucas Fabianski, by the way. I wanted to talk, can we go into this quickly? I wanted to talk about, so Lucas Fabianski, right? I love him, I do. I love him. I think he is every season, one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League. He just goes about his business, yeah? He don't sing, dance, shout, whatever. He just does it. And he goes under the radar a little bit for me. But also, as number two, we've got Alphonse Areola, yeah? Who, I've got to say, seeing him up close and personally, he looks like an absolute specimen, incredible goalkeeper. That is a serious goalkeeping department, isn't it?
It's a headache, isn't it, for a manager?
Yeah.
You said Lucas, and like I said, every year goes about it. And, you know, he's quiet. And like I said, just make saves week in, week out. And he's top guy as well. And then Fonzie coming in as well. And he's incredible again. Like the power, he's so tall. And the way he jumps is, you see him in the gym doing his jumps and he is mad.
He's a specimen, isn't he?
To have those two keepers as, you know, to choose from, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've got to say, when they signed Areola in the summer, I thought, oh, that's a shame for Lucas, to be fair. That's a big shame because I don't want to see him lose his position.
Yeah.
But I think it just speaks volumes about how good Lucas is and how much trust the manager must have in him to go, no, mate, you're my number one. You're going to keep playing. I know Areola's played in the Europa League games, it does. It speaks a lot about Lucas, doesn't it?
No, yeah, I think it does. Playing, I don't think he's missed a Premier League game.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be that number one and then to have Fonzie, who's, you know, been with the French national team as well consistently and coming from PSG and, correct me if I'm wrong, has he been at Real Madrid before that
He's been all over the place,
CV's unbelievable, but, you know, what a keeper as well. And for the manager, it's a headache for him that I probably don't want, but, you know, two great goalkeepers.
Yeah.
So if you're there, Fozzie, you're one of those goalkeepers, it's a battle for number one. Obviously, Lucas has been number one in the Prem, but with the amount of games that West Ham played this season...
Do you know how many games they've played this season? Because I've done my research on this.
It's 53. It was 52, but
55 games so far this season. You've got one more to come, obviously, 55. In the Premier League. Yeah,
so he's playing a few games, Areola.
Well, of course. Well, Europa alone, I think you've had 12 games in the Europa. Wow. Yeah,
7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, 12. Would it have been, with a group and
incredible
knockouts.
What's that like as playing that many games in a season? How much has that taken a toll on West Ham this season, do you think?
Obviously, it's a long season. For me, answering that question, though, it's just playing games. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being involved in all these competitions. And I think that's the main thing, being progressing quite well in each competition that we've had. You know, Europa League semi-final, FA Cup we got to.
Yeah, you did well in every cup pretty much, didn't you?
Carabao as well.
Yeah.
So it's when you're, you know, playing in these competitions and you're doing well, you just want to keep playing.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really care about how tired you are or whatever. Well, for me anyway, I just want to keep playing.
Yeah, you don't mind all the travel and stuff like that, because everybody knows Europa's a bit sort of, you could be anywhere, can't you?
Yeah, no, the travel's long, and with the hour difference, you know, it's not massively, but, you know, finishing the games late and stuff. But I think that just comes with the territory of being in Europe, doesn't it? You just kind of accept that and go,
you're going to be away a bit.
Going to be away, yeah.
I think, obviously, I still speak to Craig Dawson quite a bit, and he's always glowing about the manager and how they've run it and how things work and stuff. And he's always basically says the club is run so well. He gives us so much time off as well. He knows that if we've been away in Europe playing, he'll give us the day off the next day or maybe 2 days or anything like that. That's important, isn't it? You need time away as well. You can't just like be in for a warm down, for example, because you need that mental break as
well.
That's
massive, because I've noticed that with you, Fozzie, in the last couple of years. There's one thing travelling on a plane and stuff and going to work, but it's when you're getting back
the next day
into London or whatever at 1 a.m.
Not being every day seeing, obviously you see your teammates every day, but to have that bit of away time, not going in and
that's the bit, isn't it?
Stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's important to have that kind of balance of training ground and then having your own time as well, just to switch off a lot, even if it's just for a day.
When you are, and then, like I say, if you've had a day or two off, then when you are back in training, you're like, actually, I want to do a bit today.
Yeah,
I want to give it a good go.
Yeah, unbelievable, don't you? After
I know. A
couple of days, manager loves it.
Can we talk about the goal you scored against Fozzie at your place this season? So it was 1-0.
Yep, away
West
at West Ham.
It was a big game for you, like, wasn't it? Because you actually had a little bit of momentum. It was a big game, didn't go your way. But let's talk about that goal.
Scumbag goals. Tell me your point of view of that, because this is, I know from mine, obviously, but I think this is the beauty of, if you can get a bit of interaction between a goalie and a striker, who see it from completely different perspectives, it's like, it's dead interesting to see.
Do you know what? I think at the time I was scoring a few and playing well, and I think people say when your luck's in, your luck's in.
Yeah.
And I've had shots this season that are deflected and keeper saved them, or it's gone wide, or you're just not quite fallen. And that one, I remember getting it just, I think Manu passed me the ball and I was running. I was about 20 yards out.
Yeah,
was
a bit of space. Yeah, you found yourself in a bit of space, didn't you?
And I thought, I could shoot here. So I just kind of, I don't think I hit it that well. I think it was going here, if I'm right, to your left. And I hit it and I thought, I don't fancy that. And then I've seen it, took a deflection, and I've seen you go this way, and I've seen the ball go
in.
Oh,
it's the worst.
For me as an attacker, that's the best one.
When you know it's going in.
And you know you can't get up.
Yeah.
And get it. It was, that was a scummy goal, but...
It was a scummy goal.
It was proper, wasn't it?
It was a dagger in our heart. Because like you said, it was a big game for us, right? Yeah. And I don't think West Ham played particularly well that game.
I think it was quite even, the game
as well,
it
was.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a 50-50 game. But like you say, I think when you look in and when you look out, they're the sort of things that happen to you.
But then 5 minutes later, you tip one onto the post and you made a worldie save, so...
Yeah, so talk me through this. So I remember the save, right? So I personally, it was a really good save for me because it was one of the saves where I didn't expect to make it because you took it so early, I kind of didn't think I had time to get down and get a finger on it. Yeah. But when I felt it touch my finger, I still thought, oh no, it's still gone in the back of the net because I just haven't got enough on it. And then I hear it hit the post and I am buzzing my tree off at this point here.
Yeah, no, I remember I got it. We kind of broke. It was quite late on. And I remember getting it and just coming inside and I thought, I need to shoot like quite quickly. There's a lot of bodies coming around. And I thought if I hit it early, the keeper might not set. And I hit it and I thought, oh, that's a good strike. And I've seen you get a finger to it and I thought, I hope you ain't got a strong enough finger on this. So it goes kind of in the side there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've seen it hit the post and I was like, no, because that was for two goals.
Is that something you were, like the taking the shot early? Is that something that strikers, you in particular, would work on a bit?
Yeah, I think it comes, Kevin Nolan as well at the club as well. Obviously, he's scored a lot of goals as well.
He's horrible to play against him.
He always says to me, one thing, take it early if you can. Secondly, don't look at the goal because the goal don't move.
True that.
And he's always on to me. Like, if he'll look at a video and I might look up and he goes, told you. And then I scored one. I think it was the Man City one, the second one. I didn't look up.
Yeah.
And he went, we watched it after the game and he went, watch this, look at your head. And to be fair, my head didn't move. But
You didn't look up. That's the thing.
Because I knew, because he always says, obviously, you know the goal doesn't move. But when you're in that, you almost, kind of know where you are, but not 100% if that makes sense. You almost want a little glance
just something.
It probably does take your mind off it because you shoot but you've kind of looked up and maybe you're not as set as you would be, but that taking it early, I think if you can take it as soon as possible, because obviously for yourself, for a keeper, you're trying to get set, so for the earlier we take it,
of course,
it's hard for you to get set in.
Well, I'm not only that, I'm actually looking for you to take a look. I'm trying to wait for you to look up and see where I am, because then I think, well, if he sees I'm covering that side of the goal more, he's going to try and put it over that side of the goal. And I need that look, and that double kills me, especially when you take it quick as well. So like the Man City goal you said there, did it go through legs to start with?
It was Fernandinho. It was like a tiny gap, but then it was Edison went with his feet, but I think because he couldn't really see it, it wasn't early because I took a few touches, but I think because I took a few touches, he didn't kind of know when I was going to shoot.
That's it. That's the one.
And then
the
defender was covering, which is you see it so many times.
Through legs.
As a keeper, through legs, when it's like the reverse.
I know.
And it went in.
Yeah, it was nice, mate. It was nice. Just finish off with the Man City talk. They've just announced, obviously, that Erling Haaland's going to be signing for them for next season. That's trouble, isn't it?
Big trouble. He is. I'm looking forward to seeing him play though in the Premier League. See what he's done at Dortmund and the goals he's scored, and it's exciting, isn't it?
How
many goals is he going to score next season?
Honestly, I don't know. It could be
any number. I think you could put any number.
You could.
I think with that team and the way they create chances, and the way he scores.
He's just ruthless, isn't he? Like, with the way Man City play is, they like to get behind you and then they cut it back, and they are just, they know, everybody just makes runs, right? They commit so many bodies. And this is what I say, if they get ahead of steam and they score one early doors, you're just thinking, this is a long day, it's going to be a nightmare.
Because you said, they don't stop, do they? They don't get two goals up.
They're not
say,
happy with that.
No, they want...
They want 5-6 every time. And they do normally score 5 or 6 goals. It's no shame in losing 5-0 almost. You know what I mean? It's the way that it goes. But now they'll be cutting it back. Whereas normally they cut it back and they fizz it along the ground, right? With big Erling Haaland, they could be standing it up. They could be chipping absolutely all sorts. He's just... I'm looking forward to seeing him play next season. Don't know if I'm looking forward to playing against him, but I think he's going to score a few goals next year,
Cutting him from the right...
Yeah, Bowen.
Iron Bowen. That's the nickname. That's the nickname.
Who gave you the nickname, Iron Bowen?
I think it was some of West Ham fans. Yeah, West Ham fans. But it's a nice one, isn't it? The player that he was.
Yeah, he was lovely, wasn't he?
And obviously, you get them comparisons of being left-footed and off the right and stuff. But obviously, he was. The stuff he'd done in the game was incredible. But He is someone that I've looked at, though, and I'm not even lying here, that I worked with one of the coaches at West Ham, with him and Ribery, and it was the first, I think it was the first few times they got the ball in the game, they went down the outside.
Yeah.
Because Ribery was on the left being right-footed, Robin was on the right being left-footed. And he said, watch them go down the outside here the first few times.
On the weaker foot, basically.
On their weaker foot. Yeah. And then see what happens. And they'd score coming inside because they've put that doubt in the defender's mind of going outside. So then the defender's then like, I don't know which way to show him. Yeah. If I show him outside, he's down the line. If I show him inside, he's got a shot on goal. So I have looked at him, especially like I said, with being left-footed. But the nickname is Yes. Nice.
You take that all day long.
That's one of the good ones, isn't it? There's been some good nicknames in football, hasn't there? What's your favourite, Fozzy, over the years?
It's always our favourite. An ex Crystal Palace player, I don't know if you remember him, called Fitzhall.
Yeah.
Do you remember? His nickname was One Size, because One Size fits all.
It's
world class. It's got to be the best nickname in world football.
It's got to be. Have you heard any good ones, Jared?
Have you got a nickname for Dawes, or is he just Dawes?
Oh. Pablo calls him Dawes the Horse.
Dawes?
He just runs around kicking.
Running through people. Oh, he's horrible, isn't he?
And I hate it. He gave me root canal, you know.
No, he didn't.
He did. He elbowed me right in the jaw and said, I didn't touch her. I had to have root canal in my tooth.
Mate, his body, his bones, I swear they're made of like concrete or something.
His legs are so big as
they're
well.
They're horrible, aren't they?
He is so big. But against him in training, I hate playing against him in training.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Because he gives it everything. He's the same as he is on a pitch in training, right? He'll give you everything. And like when he left Watford a few years back, I remember thinking, wow, that's a mistake, you know, because he is... I used to love playing with Dawes. I played with Dawes at West Brom for 5-6 years and I used to love it just because I knew, like you said, that he would run through brick walls.
You know what you get him.
You know, he'll kick it, he'll head it. He ain't trying to be fancy with the ball, is he? And he'll score you goals at one end and he'll defend the life out of it.
So why, like, let's talk about England, right? Is it just his age?
Craig Dawson? Yeah, I just don't think he's fancy enough player or big enough name.
Is it one that he's not fancy enough?
Yeah.
Maybe not. He's not a typical ball playing centre half. And is he because he's in his 30s?
Yeah, I think that's all it is.
If you took it on merit right now as a defender, surely he's in the squad. Yeah.
If you want a defender, exactly. That's keep the ball out.
Well, that's what they're meant to do first and foremost, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Dawes would just, anyone there, he's kicking 6 foot up in the
air. He don't care who it is, honestly.
You and Dawes, come on. West Ham boys.
Yeah, no, Ballon d'Orson, lads. Ballon d'Orson.
That's the shout.
Dawes, can you imagine Ballon d'Orson? What a guy.
He loves that shout. Do
you know that he's also the tightest man in the world as well, yeah?
I'm glad you said it.
Horrific.
Oh my God, some of the stuff. Honestly, us at football, we're like, Dawes, you are so bad.
It's so bad.
So tight. Like, I don't know where to start with.
I want to get him on the fucking podcast.
We do. We'll get him on. He's basically not a footballer, but he's a footballer. Like he's so sort of like he's like a working class animal.
Yeah, but that's a bit like the first time we've met today, Jared. But you weren't a product of an academy system, were you? Neither was Ben.
Yeah.
And
Dawes wasn't really, you know. Yeah.
Was
to
he
be
not?
Fair to him, nah. He was like he got a bit of a later start. He used to work in a pub, Rochdale. He was that,
yeah.
With the academy system, then, as players, can you see lads and do you relate more to lads that haven't been through academies?
So you didn't do any academy, no?
Nah, only like obviously Hereford growing up wasn't.
Yeah, academy then,
yeah,
really.
Pretty much academy. Yeah, it was. You know, all pretty, no kind of structure, so to speak. But yeah, not the typical kind of.
So as a kid, then were you always like one of the best players in your area, for example?
Yeah, well, I played for Hereford and then played for Leinster as well, which is my local team, which my old man ran. And it was kind of we was playing for Leinster and we all played for Hereford as well. Because Hereford obviously went full time; it was only once a week, twice a week maybe, and then a game on a weekend, and then Leinster was a Sunday league team maybe. Yeah. But all your mates played and you all played together.
That's a good laugh, aren't
it? Yeah, no. So it was a good crack. And that was, to be fair, that was right up until about under 16s. And then it gets a bit more ruthless, doesn't it?
With,
you know, people getting held on and people not. But even me, I got told to go away. So,
really? What, at 16?
Yeah, because there was no youth team. Obviously the money situation, they just said, oh, we're scrapping a youth team. There's no kind of financial support here. That's when I went to Cardiff.
Yeah.
And then went there for 6 weeks and then got told no from them as well. Wow. So I was just kind of like stuck in the mud of like, I ain't got a club here, so I'm just going to didn't know what I was going to do. Yeah. Because obviously farms back home or whatever, could have jumped on a farm. But then you just got a bit lucky that the couple of things happened with the youth team manager going as first team manager, and then got my kind of break through that. But in terms of a proper like structural academy, no.
No, I don't mind that, you know. I think it's, I think you can get so much benefit from that because you learn, it's like that fear of you're so close to not being a footballer or not making it that it makes you, it gives you that little bit more determination to go, right, when I'll get this chance, I am going to absolutely give it a go. So when you get into the Hereford first team at what, 17, 18?
Yeah, 16, 17 it was, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're starting for the first team and you start scoring goals.
Mad, yeah. It was, yeah, because obviously I was with all these pros that have played hundreds of games and there's me and one of my mates that had never had any, obviously, experience before. But I think being in that kind of environment and that dressing room and that, you know, pumping the balls up yourself and all that kind of stuff and not having the proper, having one physio and
having proper, the
small
isn't it? Yeah.
gym. And but I think it makes you, it kind of, because you know what it's about, you know, kind of, because you've seen that week to week professional football, so even though it was conference, it was still proper.
Yeah.
And you're playing in front of those crowds and you
kind of get that as well.
Yeah, it matters. There's stuff on the line.
Yeah.
And you get that taste for it, I think, and it pushes you on even much more to say, I want to keep doing this because this is good.
And then obviously the Hull. So when Hull are making a bid for you and it's sort of like common knowledge and everybody around you knows, what's that like? Is there a bit of a buzz about the place?
Yeah, do you know what? I went to West Brom for a couple of trials. I was there for about 4 weeks, stayed there in
How old were you then?
I would have been at West Brom then.
Yeah. So I would have been at West Brom then, yeah.
So Hull were in the Prem then, weren't they, when you joined? Were they?
I think it was the FA Cup final year.
Right.
So I don't know what that was
when they played Arsenal. Well, I was definitely at West Brom then,
So I went to West Brom at the training ground. I stayed in the digs. When you come out of the training ground, not that long ago.
Yeah.
You're just up there somewhere. So I was there and I wanted to sign there.
How long was that trial for?
It's about four. I played two games. It was about 4 weeks.
Did you ever see me? Did you ever do anything?
No, because I was... To be honest, it was so long ago. I remember being obviously in the training ground and going in the canteen and playing games on the back pitches. So it was there, but I wanted to go there because it was like an hour from Hereford.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'll be home all the time, buzzing. And then my old man and that were like, no, we want you to go to Hull.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's like 3.5 hours.
It's a little bit further away, isn't it?
3.5 hours away. They're like, no, trust me. It's a good club for you to go to in terms of development and off the pitch as well as a person and life skills. You'll learn much more.
Yeah. Who was the gaffer then?
Hull.
Sorry, yeah.
Steve Bruce.
Steve Bruce
was the manager. Nice, yeah. So, but they didn't. I don't think they paid any money for it. There's a couple of things saying that they paid $40,000 for me, but I don't remember that because obviously I didn't get paid at Hereford.
Yeah.
Because of the money.
So you weren't under a contract necessarily.
No. So for the last my first year of a scholar YTS, I wasn't paid for 8 months. I think it was. So lucky I was living at home.
Cool, that's a signing for all, isn't it?
Wow.
They said they paid $40,000, but I don't think they did.
Bloody hell. So when you're like, obviously this is a few years ago, this is kind of 14, 15, and you hear stories of players coming in late, you know, famously years ago, like people like Wrighty, Jamie Vardy, Tyrone Mings in like more recent years. I guess a question for both of you would be, if in 2022 you've got a really good Saturday player, right? Look at your old levels, for example. In this day and age, will they still make it? Will that cream still rise to the top?
Oh, do you reckon you're going to get another Jared Bowen, basically, sort of thing?
Yeah, in 2022, but let's say he's playing for Racing Club Warwick or Leamsterdown or someone like that. Do you think that it's the football set up these days that they will still get the chance? If you're good enough, you will still make it.
Go on, you go, Jared.
I think... For me, talking of me and talking about my, let's use my hometown as an example, and I don't want to seem like I'm being big time here, but I think where I'm from in Leamsterdam, no one really makes anything without saying being horrible.
No, I know the town.
So I've gone on to play in the Premier League from little old Leamsterdam, and I still go home and see everyone, and they still treat me exactly the same. And that's perfect. So I think if you've got a young player playing there, and they've kind of seen me do it, I don't see why they wouldn't
dream at least.
Will I get picked up though?
I think I was in the same position. I think it's about your chance and taking your chance and seeing going from there, because when I was coming through, people never probably thought I was ever going to get a move or do anything. They probably thought, is he going to get the chance? The club's going to want him? There was probably loads of questions up in the air, and you get that chance. So I got 8 games in the conference and I kind of took my chance, and a manager knew someone, and that's all you need. You need someone to know someone. And then that was Tony Pennock at Hull, who came to watch my game. And then all of a sudden I'm signing for Hull, and then, you know, I'm just kicking on and kicking on, and now I'm in the Premier League. So like I said, without sounding big time and saying, you know, I've kind of made it, people in my hometown would probably look at me and say, well, he's done it. I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say, as a neutral, you've made it, mate. I think I can say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think, do you know what it is, though? It's about, you've just got to play games. And like you said a minute ago, if you're good enough, you'll get picked up. You will. I don't care.
So would a young Ben Foster now, at your age, playing for Racing Club Warwick, sorry, at 20 now, would a young Ben Foster still get picked up?
If you're good enough and you're doing it on a Saturday afternoon in front of people when they're watching, right? The football network is so large and far reaching now, right? There'll be scouts at sort of, like, real low league levels. There will be. There's scouts absolutely everywhere. But you just need to be out there playing. Like, we have young kids at our place, like goalkeepers and whatever, and I'm just saying to them, go out on loan, lads. Like, just go out on loan and play, yeah? Because in a couple of years' time, when you might not get kept on, or you might need another loan, they will look at your record and go, how many games has he played? Because managers nowadays, they need to know that they can rely on you. They need to know that you've played games, and when you're out there on a pitch on a Saturday afternoon, that you will do the job that they want you to do.
So what about if you don't go to an academy, say you've got an academy player that plays from, let's say, 11 or 12 years old. If someone comes in at 17 or 18, are they at a disadvantage because that 12-year-old's had 6-7 years of academy coaching? Ooh. Is it a case of they're a bit raw and they need work, or are they at a disadvantage?
Go.
I think there's a slight advantage, because obviously the academy clubs and the proper structure, you have that coach and you have that one-to-one, you have those, and I'm using myself as an example for all these, but we didn't have that kind of coaching, like one-to-one specific coaching. Obviously we had coaching and they were good coaches, but they're not coaches on the level that are in these other academy clubs, do you know what I mean? So obviously players, you still learn more when you get into, you know, when you turn 18 and start training with first teams and playing games. I still think you learn, but I think it's hard to say from a young age, are you going to learn everything you need to know at that age? Yeah. It's hard to say, but I still feel you get a bit more coaching, and I think that's just normal.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's down to the person, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. Obviously, the coaching, I agree. Like, I think, like, it's hugely important that you've got the coaching, the bare necessities, the bare skills to start with. But I think it's, like, you just watch the way Jared will play, for example. He don't scream, shout, blah, blah, blah. He just goes about his business, right? He runs his socks off. Like, his work rate is incredible, always shutting stuff down and that. And I think that's a mentality is... It goes back to your sort of like early days where you didn't necessarily have the glitz and glamour or the best equipment, the best balls, whatever, but it was just about playing and winning and going out there and doing the best you can every time. And I think that's, for me, is the most important thing, for sure, isn't it?
I agree, 100%.
Yeah, love it. Right, so Hull, then the big move, okay? The West Ham move, yeah? £18 million in total with a few add-ons and bits and bobs and all this kind of stuff. What's it like when a Premier League team like West Ham, a proper Premier League team, make a bid like that for you?
It was mad that last day, because it all happened on the last day. It was probably the most craziest and stressful day of my life.
Yeah.
I remember waking up, not knowing, didn't know a bid had come in. By the time I travelled from my house to the training ground, a bid had gone in.
Wow.
And I hadn't spoke to my agent or my dad. Me and my dad were just like...
Did you not know anything was happening? So that week before, you're a Hull player, you're going to be a Hull player.
It was the last day of the window. Nothing was happening. Nothing happened in the night before. Nothing. It was
so you didn't know, like, normally you'd
rumours. There would have been rumours. Yeah, there was always rumours. Yeah.
I remember a couple of talks. There was a loan move that, you know, didn't materialise, and I didn't really want a loan move. It was, and then I remember, like I said, travelling from my house to the training ground. A bid had gone in from where, and I went into the training ground not knowing this. So I've gone in, gone to get changed, gone to have my breakfast, like all the usual stuff. Seen the manager, Grant McCann, at the time, and he was like, "What are you doing here?" I was looking at him like, what?
Nah.
I was like, what are you on about? He's like, coming to my office. I thought, oh God, here we go. What's happened?
What have I done?
Yeah, what have I done? And then he went, "We've accepted a bid from West Ham." And mate, my stomach just fell. I was like, you know when you feel sick?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Because like, you know when you want to move and you feel like you've done enough in the seasons and it's never materialised. And, you know, I think getting that Premier League move is really hard. And to get that news of saying, "We've accepted a bid."
Accepted it, that's the bit.
I was like, oh my God, so my like stomach kind of fell. And he was at West Ham as a youngster, he told me, and he was talking to me about it, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, all right, what do I do now? Because I've never done it before. Yeah. I was like, what do I do? Do I just go down? Or? And then he was like, got the physio in. It was like, go to Leeds, do like a, it was like a body scan.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was like your medical.
Start of your medicals, yeah, yeah.
So I'd done that. And then it was about 6 o'clock. We was in Leeds, and then we had to get a train from Doncaster to King's Cross. So then me, my dad and my brother were all here, like, we couldn't believe what was going on.
Is like, this like fully daunting at this? Like, yeah. thinking, you thinking, right, I've got to move real. Down to yeah. London, all sorts.
I didn't think it was real.
Can we just add a bit of perspective just at this point? So you'd been at Hull for 5 years.
5 years.
So
yeah.
you'd had three seasons, 17-18 season, 18-19 and 19-20. You played like 40 games plus.
Mate, scoring record was decent. It was about 2.5 a game you'd score. No, right. Sorry, yeah. 1 goal every 2.5 games. That's yeah. what your scoring record was.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was. I enjoyed it there. It yeah. was a nice place to
learn
and not have that pressure. And that first season I remember I had of being in the Championship, of that first experience of playing week in, week out. And I was like, I got the buzz for it. I was like, yeah. I love this. This is what I want. And then it just kind of went from strength to strength. And obviously I'll always be grateful for that club for the opportunity they gave me. Yeah. And I had so many managers at that club though. Like I said, I signed with Steve Bruce, but then I had Mike Phelan when Steve Bruce went
yeah,
to Villa.
Yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
And then it was Marco Silva coming in the January. And then it was Leonid Slutsky.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was Nigel Adkins. Then it was Grant McCann. So I think it was every year I had a new manager, but... Nah, I did love it there, but I think the time was probably right for me to leave in the end. And I just that day, we're talking about it now. It's just for 2 weeks, probably I didn't believe it. I thought, nah, it's like,
yeah.
I was in London and I was signed and I was training, but I was like,
where did you sign at
the stadium? Yeah, so I got trained to things like King's Cross or something, and it was late. And I remember the secretary, he was getting so stressed because it was like 10 o'clock and I was like speaking to the manager and speaking to the physio. He's like, come on, like 11 o'clock, we need to wrap this up. And then it was about 10:45. He's like, we need to get like the panic in his face. It was fun. But then we signed it and done all the media stuff that you do, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the game was the next day. They played Brighton at Brighton at home. And then, like I said, for 2 weeks, I was in a hotel with my brother. And we were just like, what is going on here? Like, we just couldn't believe it. Like, obviously, from where we're from, like Leominster, like, we've never experienced anything like it. And then we're like, we've just, like, my brother's like, you've just signed for a Premier League club. I was like, I know, it's mad, really, but I just didn't believe it. Like, it was crazy. I just didn't. I think because it was on the last day and it happened so quick, there was so much going on.
Yeah.
My brain probably didn't process that I actually signed for West Ham.
So what was it like then for the first like few weeks at the training ground? So you've obviously, it's a massive step up, yeah?
Yeah.
The training ground, the facilities, the quality of players that you're going to be training with. What was it like? Was it like, wow, do I fit in here? Or like, I'm going to smash this or what?
Nah, you always have those questions of a player coming from the Championship. But it was a bit like a trial because I didn't know anyone. It was halfway through the season. There was games going on to the manager to prepare for. Obviously, I was involved as well, but... You know, you just don't know anyone. Yeah, everyone makes you feel welcome and stuff, but you don't know them fully.
Yeah.
So you just kind of like, I don't know, just like bobbing about the place, like just like you're on trial for a bit. But obviously the games help then as well. Do you know what I mean? Like when you start playing and you train more and players start to, you spend more time with players, you start to settle in more. And I remember my first two games, Liverpool away and Man City away.
Wow.
And I thought, this could finish me. Like, I'd come from the Championship.
And what was it like? What was it like training day to day? Could you straight away notice the step up in quality?
Yeah, it's just the standard, like just and the levels that people set themselves, and especially with this manager now that we've got, and the standards he sets every day in training that he doesn't want us to go below. And I remember coming in the first couple of sessions, and I was like breathing so heavily. I was like,
just because, like, everything was quicker and
just
sharper.
Quicker, yeah. And I was just like, obviously not used to it.
And bear in mind, by the way, he's halfway through a season, so it's not like it's pre-season where he's not fit or anything. Yeah. It's just that everything is so much sharper and quicker that you've got, like, it's just a massive, massive step up.
The step up is, I think that's one of the main things, like the speed of it.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of like a mental thing as well. Like in your brain, you've always got to be like on it. Do you know what I mean? You can't,
ever switch off.
Come off it.
Ever.
Otherwise, someone's just going to.
How did them first two games go against Man City and Liverpool?
I didn't start. I think the manager done it really well. I came off about 20 minutes each game.
Yeah.
And I actually should have scored against Liverpool.
Really?
Yeah. I had a chance against Alisson where I went to dink him. And a week later, the manager started me at Southampton at home and I scored. And I think it was McCarthy in goal.
Yeah.
And I chipped him exactly the same as Alisson. And that one went in. But it was those Liverpool Man City games, like being there, I remember being on the bench, the Liverpool game in particular, when they're, because I've never been to Anfield, never played there, never gone there with Hull, and hearing the, like them singing and how loud it was
What's it, you've got to talk about your family, because a minute ago you kind of checked yourself a bit when you said, your brother said, we're signing, and you kind of said you, but I know that's how it is with a close family, isn't it? Like, even with like really close friends, and obviously you're very close to your brother, but like when people ask me, and I'll kind of go, we're so, oh no, no, Ben's, but that's how it is, isn't it? What was it like for your family and to all of a sudden to be playing against Liverpool and Man City?
Like I said before, it was just, we just didn't believe it. But like my dad and my brother, they were the ones that was with me on that day. So we was just like, my dad's taken phone calls and phone calls from, you know, if it's from Cardiff being told that they're not signing me, if it's from Hereford saying, so he's seen it all. You know, he's seen the lows. He's been there for the lows. And then to see that, he drove off after I signed, because I think he was just... I remember he said, oh, I've got to get back.
Need a bit of intake, to process it all.
I've got to get back. Yeah, well, yeah.
That, it was 12 o'clock at night, bear in mind.
Yeah.
That was the one time that I've seen him, that I knew that he'd be upset, because he's acts like a tough man, you know. He's just like, And then that, I think that one time where, because it was me achieving my dream of being in the Premier League that I've always worked towards, and I think for him to...
Your dad was a player, by the way, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was a bit of a baller as well, apparently. Yeah.
It was the West Ham. He was going to sign for West Ham as well, which was a bit mad.
Sam, yeah.
He had a nickname.
This is incredible.
He had a nickname, didn't he? Would you know this about this?
Yes, I do.
Did he?
Something about his debut. What's it called?
Didn't he score for three clubs, like hat-tricks on his debut?
I know he scored for... Is it Merthyr against Forest Green? He scored five on his
debut.
Yeah, don't let me forget that.
It was three or four clubs he scored a hat trick on his debut, didn't he?
The balls he had from the conference.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, that's ages ago, it was a yellow one, like the old yellow, and I can't remember what it was called.
Mitres, would they have been?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he had them footballs. But yeah, he was going to sign for, I think he came on trial when Harry Redknapp was the manager.
Yeah. Wow.
And then it was, I think he was at Merthyr Tydfil, and they wanted XYZ money, and then he just kind of fell out of love with the game and played a bit of rugby, and then that was kind of it. So he's got that love for the game as well, do you know what I mean? And I think that's why he's on to me all the time, because I wouldn't say he pushed me to be a footballer, but he knew that I could make something of it. And he just, the levels that I could get to. So going back to when he was definitely crying in the car.
Yeah.
He didn't need to get back, you know.
I've got to get dinner on.
Who wants to go on the M1 at 2 o'clock in the morning? Do you know what I mean? But but obviously that's a special moment to know that he was like that. And my mum and all my family as well. My mum was on the other end of the phone the whole time, like, what's going on?
But
I didn't want to tell her because I was like, I don't want to jinx it. Like, what if I tell her I've signed at 8 o'clock at night and it comes to it and I haven't signed? Do you know what I mean? So I didn't speak to anyone that day.
Fully done and you're like there.
I've signed on the line.
The next day you wake up and there's nothing in the press about a deadline was missed or something.
Yeah, no,
you never know.
I've signed, yeah.
And then you're from the countryside and then you move up to Hull, which is, you know, not massively known for being the most cosmopolitan city in the world, is it?
That's a city of culture, isn't it? About 10 years ago.
Yeah,
there you go.
Coventry as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did as well, yeah.
And then you're in London.
Yeah, it's mad. I remember saying I don't want to move to London. There's too many people.
Yeah. I bet you've changed your mind now, haven't you?
Hereford, little old Hereford, full of farms, full of fields. Then to Hull, which is not similar, but it's got its similarities in terms of...
A bit more space, at least.
And then coming to London is just so different. Just the total opposite of what I'm used to. But you get used to it, and I love it down here now, do you know what I mean? And I think it's... being out of your comfort zone, but then you come into your comfort zone, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're almost like, I don't really want to go there because, I don't really like it, but I've never experienced it, if that makes sense.
So you've got to give it a go at least.
Yeah, you've got to give it a go. And, now I love it down here. I've got my house and stuff. So, yeah, I'm happy down here.
It's like a different world, isn't it, London? We say it every time we come down, we're like,
world,
you find something new. It is like a different country within England, isn't it?
It is.
Well, we're on the Strand now and it's like 23 degrees outside today, 24 degrees. And it is Ramo, isn't it? Like,
oh my God.
people everywhere.
Coming down the street, the amount of people that you just see, and, like, just walking down the street. And, It's just rammed,
just
isn't it?
Humans
like,
everywhere.
Constantly.
Can I just say, I found it funny a minute ago when he said that his first few weeks at West Ham and it's like he was on trial again. Like, he'd just been bought for 18 million quid. Yeah, yeah.
Expensive trialist. Yeah,
and he's still wandering around the place as if, like, are they thinking they've made a mistake here or something?
Yeah. Did they get the wrong player?
So, yeah. who were the boys that really welcomed you into the fold?
Nobes was good. Deck as well. Deck messaged me actually on Instagram and I was like,
When you signed, yeah.
I was like, Dex messaged me because obviously, like, he was obviously in international series, but he's like a big player. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I was
like,
to my brother, he's messaged me. I was like, shall I message him back? Or
up close and personal, Declan Rice as a footballer, at just how good?
Oh, mate, I don't think there's any word. I think you just see how
really,
like, especially this season. I think the Euros this season, last season, I think he showed how good he was then.
Yeah.
And I think this season, again, he's just gone on to...
Another level again.
Another level, yeah. It's just...
So what's Declan now? 24, is he? 23, 24?
23, I want to say. Yeah, I want to say I'm 2 years old, 23.
Because
yeah.
He still qualifies for young PSG. So he'll be 23 then, won't he?
Yeah.
Mate. I've got to say, from just obviously playing against him, you see... He's like a fully grown sort of...
He's just got everything, I think.
Everything.
Box to box.
Yeah.
But like, he's a holding midfielder, like winning the ball. But then you see him running with the ball.
He spanked from 25, 30 yards past me last season as well.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, a couple of seasons ago, actually, when we got relegated. Never mind.
Which time?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I think, is it too soon to say I think you are now the most relegated player in Prem history?
I think
you and Rambo were having an argument over who had been relegated more times.
I've definitely been relegated from the Premier League. This is my fifth relegation this season.
What's Dawson's?
Dawson's
done
a few
isn't he?
Yeah.
Dawson,
I don't think he's going to get a relegation at West Ham though, so I think he's all right.
Yeah, I think he's right. Again,
I spoke to Dawson earlier about you. Can I just tell you a few things that he said about you? Right? So he said, "Oh, Fozzy, he's such a good lad. Honestly, he says basically he's just like a farmer." So that's how he described you. And I went, "Oh, so he's a good lad then?" Yeah. He went, "Honestly, he's absolutely brilliant." I went, "And like, as a footballer, just how good is he? All right." And these are Dawson's words. All right. I don't care. Like, everybody get in the comments and absolutely belittle him for this, whatever you want, right?
Yeah,
but
nice one.
Dawson's words were, "Fozzy, he could go again, mate. He is that good. He reminds me of Leo Messi." That's what Dawson said. Promise you. But
taking that, this aren't
is, you? You gotta think, right? This is from somebody who... Craig Dawson's a clever lad, you know. He's got his head switched on, hasn't he? He knows what he's talking about with certain things, right? And to say up close and personal that you could go again is a massive sort of, like, do you know what I mean? For coming from somebody, that's nice to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, Dawson's the legend.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
I remember when he first came in, I didn't think he liked me.
Really?
Because obviously I was against him, he was kicking me, but then he didn't really speak to me, so I was like,
that's just normal, mate.
Yeah, that's just normal. And I remember we played... you were at our place in the lockdown when we went 3-0 up in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I remember, right, I went to go past Dawson and he elbowed me right in the rib. And I looked at him and I went, "What are you doing?" And he just gave me the biggest death stare. And we spoke about it when he signed. And he was like, "Oh, I don't know, maybe I was just..."
He does it
angry.
To everyone, mate. He's horrible.
Everyone, but yeah, you look at him and think he's horrible, but he is the nicest guy.
I know.
And obviously those words are...
Yeah,
you know,
it's true though, mate.
I'll pay him next week. It's true.
I know what he's saying. I know, like, the messy... When he said the messy bit, don't get me wrong, it's tongue-in-cheek a little bit kind of thing, but bloody blah. But it's true. You can just see that when you're on the pitch, it's not about, like, having the... all the silky skills and all that. It's just that drive to just go, right, I'm going to do it again today. And it seems to me like West Ham have got quite a few of them characters, haven't they?
Yeah, that's what it is. I think the manager's done really well with what kind of atmosphere he's created with this group and what he demands off us. And I can only speak from when I came in, because that's when he was here. But I think we were 17th in the league. And I was thinking, I can't get relegated. I can't come in the Championship and get relegated. Yeah. But then... to get that out of the way and, you know, stay clear of relegation, which, you know, obviously was what we wanted to do. And then to finish sixth last season, to go into qualify for Europe, and then this season, hopefully do it again as well.
Yeah.
I think it just goes to show what the manager's done in terms of what kind of group he's brought in, like you said, about players that just want to play and want to work for each other. And it gets you results and it gets you consistently in the top seven, which we've done the last two seasons.
Do you think I think a really big thing about signing new players for clubs right nowadays is you've got to do, like, a bit of, they call it due diligence, where you have to find out about the player that you're signing. So it seems to me like when you've got people like David Moyes and Stuart Pearce, whoever they're signing, if they're signing a new player in the summer, it could be for £1 million or it could be for £30 million, right? They want to find out first and foremost what this guy is about. Is he a good lad?
Yeah.
Does he fit in with a group? Does he work as a team? All that kind of stuff. That, because that's sort of what West Ham are about, right?
Yeah, because I think it goes to show about like a changing room. We don't want bad eggs in a changing room because it only takes a few bad results. You have one to go to the other, and then all you know, the place is toxic.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the manager's kind of cut out since he's...
Just
since
got
he's
rid of the whoppers.
Just got good, honest working lads. And, you know, people probably thought, he's just signing me from the Championship, so to speak, signing different Championship players, thinking, we don't want these players. But then you kind of trust in what the manager's done and trust in the group that he's brought in. And they're going, actually, do you know what? Maybe the manager was right, and it just goes to show.
Really happy for David Moyes, because obviously he was at Everton for so many years, and I think he's a classic case of being the right fit for a right club.
Yeah, he is, obviously.
When he left Man United, he kind of flitted a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he just seems to have gone into West Ham. They get him, he gets them, and it just
He went out to Spain a bit,
works.
Didn't he? Didn't quite work out there. But I think what the thing that West Ham have done basically is just put their trust in him and gone, right, we're sticking with you here, right? So do the thing from top to bottom. Get the players in you want to do. Get rid of the players that you want to do. And it's reaping its reward because they're absolutely smashing it.
And what about the run in Europe then? That was hell of a ride, I'm guessing.
Yeah, a lot of us, it's me, my first kind of taste of European football and some of the players as well. So I think at the start it was just kind of, obviously we want to get through the group, but we didn't really know what to expect. You know, we went to Zagreb in Croatia, and we went to Genk in Belgium, and then Vienna is Austria.
Yeah. There you go.
And but it's just mad. I think when you go there and see like the different, the fans are crazy. Like when you go to like these European,
they've
places,
all got ultras though, haven't they?
Ultras,
they've all got ultras. Yeah.
And it's, I remember the Frankfurt game and the Lyon game especially. Those two away games were hostile.
Were they? Yeah.
So hostile.
Really.
The shows before the game, obviously being knockout stages, and they had flares, and like I thought they had guns or bombs. Like they let off these grenades, and I swear to God, on the pitch, I thought I'm going to die.
When you're playing, does that get in your head a little bit?
Yeah, when you heard those bombs go off, I thought, what is going on?
Well, you don't get it in this country,
do you?
That bang.
Yeah, it's true.
I know exactly what you, when you listen to it on, when you watch a game on TV and that kind of like
pop and
bang.
Stuff, yeah.
And you think, poppers, what? Yeah, I don't know. But it was after the game at Lyon, because we beat them 3-0, and I think they were, obviously their fans were fuming.
Yeah.
And they like tried to break down the stand.
They did, I remember.
And they tried
to
come on the pitch, and I thought, we're in trouble here.
Yeah.
And I just heard these bangs go off, and I thought, someone's got a shotgun. Wow. Or someone's got a grenade, I'm going to die. Because I've never heard it before. You don't hear it at, like, hear it at Vicarage Road, do you? You don't hear it, like, bangs going off.
Frigging
there.
No chance. That was some result, that 3-0 away at Lyon, by the way. Because they're a good team, then. They're a really good team, aren't they?
So what I want to talk about, what it is like in the lead up to like a semi-final. Obviously, it didn't go your way over two legs, but fantastic to see West Ham there and Rangers as well, obviously, in the final. But in the lead up to that game, like that second leg in the week, what's it like at the football club?
I think as hard as it is, you've got to try and treat it as another game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can't get caught up in the moment. You can't get caught up in the fact that it is a semi-final. It probably was the biggest in the club's history, so to speak. But as a player, as hard as it is, you can't, of course you're going to think, I want to get to a final. You're going to be nervous. Of course, I was so nervous before the game. But leading up to it, you can't let it play on your mind, because you just got to think it's another game. You got to think, it's another game. We're confident we can beat these. I think that was the message for all the knockout games, especially away from home. We knew at home that the following that we have in the stadium, the atmosphere they create, we knew that would give us a little boost. But going away in these hostile places, I said how hostile it is, so hostile. We just needed to play our game. And I think it suited us, to be fair. A couple of the games that we played, especially the Lyon game away, we knew that they'd come out firing, we knew they'd have chances, and then we win 3-0 with goals on the
counter-attack. It suits you, that, doesn't it?
It suits us down to the ground. So it's just about not getting caught up in the moment, I think.
Yeah, that's a really important point, to be fair, because I think people would sometimes go, what, you don't like prepare any harder? Or, and I'm thinking, no, you shouldn't do that anyway. Like, if you can't prepare exactly the same time properly and do it 100% every single time, so then you're doing something wrong in the first place.
Every game's a process, isn't it? Every game is a process.
So it doesn't matter if you're playing Burnley on Saturday or if you're playing Man City on Saturday. Obviously, your tactics will change a little bit, but you don't mentally prepare
same
or get up more up for
it's
do you?
It's the funfair around it, isn't it? Like media fans and I guess people close to players as well. It's quite big for them.
What are you like with social media? Do you take much notice of it all?
No, I've got social media. I've got, you know, Instagram and a couple of the other things, but I don't get caught up in it. I think a few years ago, I used to get caught up with, like, you used to search your name, see what people are writing about you. And you get caught up in it because you can have 100 comments, you have 99 good ones, you have one bad one, you're thinking...
Yeah, the one goes in, doesn't it?
The one goes in, yeah. You don't really care what people are saying good about you because you want that, do you know what I mean? You're going on there to look for
that. You're searching for the bad ones.
But yeah, you see that bad one and then you're like, then it plays on your mind. And so don't look at it in that respect. And even on Instagram, I post pictures, comments, whatever. I don't go through the comments and message requests I've got off. So it's not like I'm getting stuff. But I think it's, you know, it can be a bit of a bad play, social media, especially if things aren't going well and you're that type of player that wants to see what people are saying about you, because like I said, you can see that one comment and it'll play on your mind.
Yeah, it's true. I think some of the young kids, I always tell a lot of kids at our place, stay off it. It's poison, isn't it?
I think it's important though for like kids listening and watching and stuff, saying that, you know, you've got two elite level players here, and you've just said, Jared, that one comment will
100%.
It will kind of get in your head, won't it?
Which is bonkers as well, because you're never going to meet this person.
No,
you
know, most of them have got on Twitter, they got the boiled eggs. Yeah. The eggs their picture. You don't even know who they are.
It's true. It's like faceless. Somebody's just like created a spam account to just come and call you a whatever, dickhead and stuff.
Yeah. I was just thinking about, we did a podcast the other day, like a kind of an announcement summary of the season type thing. And we were reading out Instagram questions. And then I was like, oh, that's a good question. Username. Twat.
Yeah, his username number was one. Twat one.
And you were like, he's not twat, that's a good question.
It was a decent question, actually. Right, we're going to go on to the Fozzy quickfire questions in a minute. Tommy?
Thomas, you've never, ever called me Tommy in your entire life. I just want to quickly, before we go on to the quickfires, I saw a video of you doing your FIFA rating at the start of the season.
Oh, let's talk about the FIFA rating.
I've
seen this video, okay? It's... I think I might be higher than you, actually.
I'm
about 50 years old. I think I'm...
I think you were 78, weren't you?
I think I was, actually, yeah. So, do you play much FIFA or anything?
I'm on FIFA all the time.
Really?
Every week. There's a thing on FIFA called Weekend League.
Yeah.
So I'm on Weekend League every weekend.
Are you? What league are you in?
Well, it's just a rank and however many wins you can get. What did I get last weekend? 14 wins?
Did you? Oh, you put some time in there.
So obviously when my card's like that, I want a card that I can use for myself. Do you know what I mean?
Have you had many sort of like informs or anything this season?
I had the Europa League card, which was nice. Yeah, so I used that a couple of times, but that's kind of... Because you can get the pro player card as well, can't you? But people know it's you then. So if I'm start getting...
So have you got one on your account?
Nah, because if I start getting spanked by people start outing me saying...
Do you know also you get your pro player card, but they also give you free...
They don't do the icons anymore.
Don't they do it anymore?
This season, they've stopped it.
Nah.
Last season, the season before, I used to get like Ronaldo
as well. Yeah.
Like, just take us to the cleaners. But
so what are you saying, right, for next season? So at the moment,
78 this year.
78 this season.
A realistic FIFA rating for you next season.
I just know what they'll do. They do it every year.
They've
just to be controversial.
On shooting and pace. They have done you up a kipper.
76 is a bit naughty, that.
Yeah. Got to be 82, 83.
Come on, give me a realistic prediction next year for your FIFA rating.
81, I think.
Yeah, I think they will. They don't ever go overboard, do they?
It's not like they go, right, he's had a good season, 85.
Okay. No. Bang.
And how many are you going to drop next season?
Oh, I could be in the 60s next year.
Nah, they've got a bit more respect for you than that, I reckon.
I don't know, mate. I don't think so.
Right, next season, you two have got to unveil each other's cards to each other. That'll be fun. Right.
We'll sweep that one under the carpet, mate. We'll move on, all right? All right, then. So, Jared Bowen, we're towards the end of the podcast, right? This is what we call Fozzie's quickfire questions, okay? So, we're just going to rattle through them. You give us as much of an answer or as little as an answer, one, whatever you want to do. Okay, ready. So we will start with, do you have any hidden skills?
I'm double jointed in my thumb.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, that's weird. Horrible, in fact. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's strange.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
That's a skill, by the
way. Cider maker?
No, not a cider. I don't like cider.
No,
no, not no. I don't like cider or beer. Weird from Hereford. Yeah,
yeah. Favorite meal?
Lasagna.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Like ahead of burgers, everything. Lasagna, yeah.
Yeah, lasagna, yeah. It's cooked out a couple of days ago as well. Homemade, it's unreal.
Nice. Favourite drink?
Is alcoholic or soft?
Anything.
Nah, after a game, Coca-Cola, but in a bottle. Glass bottle. Nice. Something about a glass bottle. Coca-Cola.
330 Icon bottle, they call it. The Icon bottle. Yeah.
There's something about those glass bottles there.
Chilled.
So that.
Have you ever had that? That exact one, but into the freezer where it's at the point of freezing. No. So it's like just turning slushy. No, that's next
I
level.
Might try it.
Yeah, it's a common drink after games, you know. Coke is like the lads are absolutely.
Why is that sugar?
Sugar just needs you need. Like,
can you eat after a game straight away?
Can I eat? Oh yeah, mate. I just stand there and shout, don't I? Come on.
But after a game, it takes me like I just need like a drink. I feel after I can't eat for about 2 hours.
Ah, really? Yeah,
I can't eat. It's just but give me a can of Coke or bottle of Coke, and I'm like.
So what do you do on like a so if you've got a Saturday or like an evening game or something like midweeker
and the game don't finish till 10 o'clock
what does your night look like from after the game on a midweeker
about 4 o'clock so I can't sleep
FIFA
it's an adrenaline thing
trying to go to sleep but can't sleep I'm just there wired like shaking like my body's
out, coke sugar in so.
But it depends like some games you're like oh I'm hungry but most of the time I'm like I don't eat so if it's like a 10 o'clock game unless I get hungry and there's something in my freezer, I just won't eat.
Really, till the next morning. Yeah. No, it's hard though. It is like they try and cram it down you as well. Yeah, they'll always put food on afterwards, and they want you to take stuff away with you to eat and stuff. But it's just
sometimes you just can't.
Yeah, if you don't want to eat, you don't want to eat, do you? Yeah. All right, your idols growing up. We'll do sporting idols growing up first.
David Beckham.
Bex, I saw that. I read that in your
David Beckham.
Yeah, lovely. And then personal idols.
Personal idol, growing up in Hereford. Well, I was Man United, because obviously David Beckham, because I was a Man United fan.
Who's the nearest Prem team to Hereford?
It
would be Midland, like big team, like big Prem team.
Telford.
Wolves probably.
Wolves, yeah.
Yeah, Wolves. Yeah. That's 45 minutes.
Wow.
So you said Hereford's 2 hours away, what are you on about? What's the best advice you would give to your younger self?
Keep enjoying it, keep working hard because you can get setbacks along the way.
Yeah.
And I think it's how you deal with those setbacks shape you as a person, as a player. Because then if anything happens badly, you know how to deal with it. Yeah.
Nice, I like that. Is there anything on your bucket list that you would like to do?
Ooh. That's like, all like daredevil stuff, isn't it? Like
maybe playing a world, playing a World Cup or something like that,
or getting an England call up.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Bucket list. What would I love to do? Get an hole in one in golf, maybe.
Oh, do you play a bit of golf? Yeah.
Not like every day. Yeah, like in summer.
You're like an 18 handicapper.
I don't know what that means. So that's how good I am.
You don't play much golf, then.
So I'm not. But get an hole in one in golf. I just think.
Yeah.
I've got a new question for the list. Just dawned on me. So, sporting events around the world, what's your sporting bucket list event, i.e. Augusta for the Masters or Madison Square for Knicks
Miami
game
or something?
Anything that really pops out?
Going to watch?
Yeah.
I think I love football. It'll be a World Cup final.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Where?
Oh.
A dream venue.
Yeah, dream venue. We can't say Wembley because he'd hopefully be playing.
Yeah.
I've seen one in, is it Mexico?
Yeah, there is
I did see one the other day in Turkey. Have you seen the Turkish one? That's like a crocodile, the stadium.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, Besiktas is it, I think.
Did you play there, did you? Did you play there?
No, I don't think I did. That wasn't there.
Did you see the stadium, though? The green crocodile.
Green crocodile. Bonkers, isn't it? Yeah. Don't know about a World Cup final there, but yeah, I'm with you anyway. I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got a karaoke song in you?
American Pie.
Oh, what a song.
The full 8 minute version as well.
The full one, yeah.
Okay. You ain't beating Tyson Fury at doing it, mate. No. Nobody's going to beat him doing it. Favourite film?
The Gentleman.
Oh yeah, great good film, movie. Really good great film. Movie. Yeah.
To be fair, I don't watch many films. Like I haven't watched like the big historic ones that people always say, but.
Underrated, that is the truth.
It is, yeah.
That's so
true.
Good, that film.
Very good film. Favourite TV programme of all time?
Oh. There's two. Prison Break or Power.
Oh.
Both great.
Prison Break Series 1.
Prison
Break Series 1.
One of the best things ever made.
The last.
Yeah.
The ones in between. Yeah. They were a bit of a drag, whereas I think Power was just constantly good.
Yeah, to the end. Like to the, I think season 4.
I didn't watch it, never watched it.
Very good.
Prison Break, Power. Obviously Peaky Blinders as well.
Peaky Blinders, good, yeah.
Like that.
You ever seen Entourage?
No, but that's meant to be Unreal now.
Unreal.
Yeah, I think Nove told me about that.
Unreal.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Yeah, okay, cool. Favourite holiday destination?
I've been that I enjoyed. I enjoyed Mykonos. I went there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went there 2 years ago, I think, for the first time. I haven't really been many places. I've been Ibiza, like lads holiday, Ayia Napa.
Yeah.
But you know, I went to Mykonos and that was
nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I think you can do it all there. You can have a chilled meal, or you can just
have a proper session or whatever. Off, yeah. I think I was there 2 years ago, actually. By the way, Jared's not got any holidays booked for the summer yet, have you, mate? Because obviously he's still waiting to see if you're going to get called into England's team, which we're sure you will, by the way. We hope you will anyway. If you couldn't have been a footballer, what sport would you have loved to do professionally?
Probably golf, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah. Probably golf I'm going to say here from an outsider, obviously it looks
I'm sure
fun,
it's hard work, but
yeah,
still.
Obviously being a golfer, yeah, I'm sure it's hard work, but like the courses and that.
Nice life, that, isn't it?
Augusta or something, that would be.
Oh, God, yeah.
What sport do you think, this is maybe a strange question, what sport do you think is probably the least demanding? So something like golf, football, you're training most, golf is a lot of travel. NBA, they play like 5-6 nights in a row. What kind of sport do you think is one of the lesser demanding sports?
I don't think there is one. I don't think there can be one, because now to be...
Is bowling a sport?
Bowling. I bet they practice purely practicing and doing
darts,
like weights and stuff on it. And that.
Darts?
Nah, they practice like 8-9 hours a day just chucking a dart at a board.
You can't have a
professional elite level sport now that's not demanding.
They
have to be. That's just what it is now. The level's so high.
Yeah.
Do you have any phobias?
You used to not like water, you know.
Really? What, like, sea water or swimming, like swimming
both.
Pool?
Like, really? I remember, because my auntie lives down in London, I used to come when I was young, and I used to go over the bridge.
Yeah.
And I used to look down and get so scared.
Is that not a heights thing, not a water thing?
Maybe, I don't know.
A bit of both?
A bit of both, maybe, yeah. But I just thought, what if I fall in?
Yeah, you're struggling, mate. Yeah. I'd say you're dead, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd probably say that as well.
Double dead. Do you have an app on your phone, a game app that you play religiously?
I got New Star Soccer. But that's a bit dated now. I've played it a bit too much. That's more like, you know, when you go on a flight and away game.
Yeah, something to do, yeah.
You're on aeroplane mode, you've got no signal.
Nothing else.
Yeah, so... New Star Soccer.
Yeah, mine's Countdown. I'll do the same thing. Countdown. Really? Boom. Sweeter than that. Your favourite superhero?
Oh. Superman?
Yeah, okay. These are proper weird random questions, but people buzz off these.
I don't really watch many.
No Marvels? No, you don't watch none of that? No.
Marvel?
My missus made me watch the new Spider-Man before. Is that Marvel?
Yeah, that's Marvel, yeah.
It's these days, isn't
good.
It?
Yeah, the new Spider-Man's decent. I really like that. If you were a boxer, what would your walkout song be?
Oh... Do you know what I like? The Kell Brook one, All of the Lights.
Yeah, it's class. That's nice,
I like that one.
Yeah, that is good.
I've seen a couple of videos on that and I've watched that one.
With all the, like, because obviously, like, the lights. The lights, it's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon it'd probably be something like that.
And then, any nicknames? Apart from Ian Bowen.
Ian Bowen, I love it.
The Milky Bar Kid, which, you know, wasn't a nice time for me. With the glasses. The Stuart Little kid off Stuart Little. the Milky Bar Kid, Stuart Little, that's two of my worst ones, probably.
Jared Bowen, that was absolutely world-class, mate.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
No, honestly, mate, we appreciate it. That was a belter, seriously, belter. And that little kid that was on that picture has grown up to be an absolute
baller,
a baller of a footballer. And all of us here at the Fozcast wish you all the best for the end of the season, and obviously hoping you get into that England team. And once you're in there, mate, you won't be out of it, because you're a proper player, right?
Thank you.
We always finish every podcast, mate. I'm going to look into that one. I think you're looking into that one. And we say, up the Fozcast.
Up the Fozcast.
Up the Fozcast.
Yeah. Well,
brilliant.
Done,
nice one, mate. Brilliant.
You smashed that, mate. Well done. That was good.
Enjoyed that.
Thanks everybody for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.